All right, we're talking about what?
Christian Science.
Christian Science. We are on page 170 of Kingdom of the Cults. Let's get into our text, page 170. In the Christian Science theology, it is properly understood the term God is merely a relative one and bears no resemblance whatsoever to the deity so clearly revealed in the Bible. As has been amply shown, Eddie interchanges terms like life, truth, love, principle, mind, substance, intelligence, spirits, mother, with that of God. Now this is clever. Page 170. The personality of God and the Father and the Holy Spirit. In Christian Scientists, it is properly understood the term God is merely a relative one. Then in italics, noted the words life, truth, love, principle, mind, substance, intelligence, spirit. Now, I look at that list, and does Jesus say he's life?
Yes.
I'm the way, the truth, and the
life.
Jesus says he's the truth. Is God love?
Yes.
Okay, so word number one, life. Word number two, truth. Word number three, love. Those are all biblical words. I can look at that and go, yeah, that's God. All right, the next one that jumps out at me that's God is spirit. The next one that jumps out at me is mother. As, okay, all right, I got the little feminine or caring or material, maternalistic, but wait a minute. What about substance? What about mind? Is God a principle? Is God a principle? Can we say God's a principle? Give me a principle. Anybody have any idea what a principle is?
Standard.
Okay, a standard. What's a principle? Anyone?
You like one example?
Yeah. What's a principle? Not your pal. A principle.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Okay, is that a principle? What's a principle?
Is it like behavior?
Is it a principle of Ten Commandments?
Like if you were saying, like, don't take this without asking, even though you can have it, it's the principle of the matter that you took it without asking.
Yeah, right. And so you're saying that there is a standard or an expectation and you violated that.
Yes.
And we would say, I'm not upset with you, but it's the principle. It's not that you couldn't have it, it's the fact that you weren't courteous enough to ask.
Yes.
And we would say, there's a general principle in life that you don't take what belongs, that doesn't belong to you. Now, I'm not saying stealing, because that's clearly a commandment, but even amongst friends, you don't just reach and grab something. Well, wait a minute, are we going to call God a principle? Or how about mind? Is God a mind? See, what Mary Baker Eddy does is she takes the God of the Bible, who is very personal, very intimate, that you can have a relationship, and she really just turns God into the force. All right, Genesis 3, you should immediately be going, follow man. Genesis 3, follow man. Verse number 6, when the woman saw that the tree of good was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired, what'd she do? She eats it. All right, very good. What's the next thing that they hear? Verse number 8.
And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden.
Okay, the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord among them. And then what's verse 9 says? Say?
And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou?
So now we've got this force, this substance, this intelligence, this principle, this mind having a what?
Conversation.
A conversation. All right, this is very problematic because the God the Father in the Bible, top of my triangle, God the Father in my Bible, has a conversation with the Son. God has a conversation with the angels. God converses with human beings. Turn to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew 3. All right, Matthew 3, what are you thinking about? The baptism. You're thinking about the baptism of Jesus Christ. Matthew 3, baptism of Jesus Christ. Matthew 3, Morgan, get there, please. And let's look at verse number 17.
Matthew 3:17.
Yes.
And the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Okay, how can a force be well pleased?
It can't.
the very idea of saying that something is well pleased implies a personality. Because what is the opposite of not being well pleased?
Disappointed.
Displeased? Very good. What did you say?
Dissatisfied.
Dissatisfied? Nothing?
Mad.
Angry? Mad? That sounds like person. That sounds like feelings. That sounds like I have likes, I have dislikes. Can an intelligence have a like or a dislike?
Yes.
An intelligence?
No.
An intelligence. Can an intelligence?
No.
A substance? There's a substance?
No.
Isaiah 43:25, don't turn there, listen to it. I am he that blots out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. Remember? I'm not going to remember sins? That implies that I'm making a conscious decision not to remember something? Is a force going to do that? Is a principle going to do that? Is a substance going to do that?
No.
No. No, that's the point here. That anytime you're going, here it is right here. Now, here's the cult. Or here's the false religion. Let me start comparing. What do you say about God? 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 And once we begin to go down this road of differences, we recognize we're not talking about the same
thing.
Not talking about the same God. The easiest analogy for this, and this is really important, guys, because the world we're living in, everyone wants to say, other than evangelicals and fundamentalists, that there's one God and we all worship the same God. And the difference is that Christians define him this way, and Muslims define him this way, and Buddhists define him this way. I've got a rectangle, I've got a triangle, I've got a star. Someone else defines him as a pentagon. But it's always the same God. And there's only one God. He's a force, he's a being. And the difference is that we just have little differences, but they're all geometric shapes, and they're minor variations. But we don't do that with human beings. We don't do that with human beings. Just fast forward in life. Just fast forward in life. And let's draw up a scenario very quickly. Let's take two people. Yes, that's you, Will. See those arms?
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay. And there's Morgan. Okay. Okay. 20 years later. 20 years. Fast forward. 20 years forward. Okay, so what year would it be now? 2013. 32, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. So, Will and Morgan meet, and they start talking about a common person. Remember so-and-so. Remember so-and-so. That's what we're doing. We're trying to remember this person. We can't remember their name. Remember so-and-so. So they start going down a list of similarities. We were in college together. Where are you guys going to go to college? Christian school?
Liberty.
All right. Well, you're going to Liberty at least for 1 year. All right. So you're at Liberty for 1 year, and you're trying to remember a person that was in biology with you guys together. You remember this person in biology. So what are some of the things we're going to figure out, we're going to ask if we're thinking about the same person?
Tall.
All right. That person was tall.
Black hair.
Black hair.
Smart.
Ponytail.
What?
Ponytail.
Ponytail at Liberty. Interesting. Ponytail.
Blue hair.
Black hair. Spiritual.
What?
Real spiritual.
Real spiritual. Okay.
Ocean blue eyes.
Ocean blue eyes. Ocean blue eyes. All right. Now what's going to happen here is Morgan and Will are going to go back and forth on yes, 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 yes. What are they doing?
Right.
Morgan's got this person in her mind, right? She remembers that person. Will's got that person in his mind. He remembers that person. And they're trying to decide, is it the same person? So they're going to go back and forth on a series of characteristics until they find something that's substantially same or what's going to or different. So as long as the one that Morgan remembers is tall and the one that Will remembers is tall, are they going to keep on?
Yes.
Black hair?
Yes.
Smart?
Yes.
Ponytail?
Yes.
And eventually we get down here and Morgan goes, no. Or Will says, no. And once we identify a difference, are we talking about the same person? We go, oh, no. No, not that person. This person had red hair. Or this person, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be, yeah. And we're not talking about had a brother. And then Will says, no, this was the only child. And as soon as you identify that, then you go, it can't be the same person. That's all we're doing, that exact illustration right there, is all you're doing with anyone when you're having a conversation about is the God of Christian Science or the God of Islam or the God of Jehovah's Witnesses or the God of Mormons. Is it the same God as the God of the Bible? And so in this case, page 170 in the textbook, we're comparing two things. And we're saying in the Bible, God remembers. In the Bible, God has a voice or communicates. In the Bible, God is primarily He. In the Bible, and we're just going down page 70. What's the next thing? Number three. God hears, sees, and creates. Okay? Hears, sees, and creates. And as long as the religion or the cult that you're talking about goes, yes, 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 yes. As long as you do that, then they are similar. You're worshiping the same God. As soon as you identify major differences, your first big X, then you recognize it's not the same God. That's all you're doing. It's a very simple dynamic right here. What has Mary Baker Eddy done? She's created her own
cult.
Okay, but
God,
that's always the starting point. No one says, you know what? Today I want to start my own cult. That's not the way it happens. They don't wake up in the morning and say, Cheerios for breakfast and a false religion. Here we come. That's not how it happens. What happens is the person, Mary Baker Eddy, Joseph Smith, Muhammad, pick whoever you want, they create their own
God.
That's what they do. They create their own God. They know that there has to be a God. The Bible has a God. There has to be a God. And they don't like the God of the Bible. What she doesn't like is the Trinity. It's confusing. The Trinity, as far as she's concerned, is polytheistic. Do you understand why people think that the Trinity is polytheistic?
Yes.
Yes. Anytime, if I tell you Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, that to me looks like how many gods?
Three.
It's to me like three gods. So, and I believe that there's only one God. Christians believe there's Trinity. And so every Muslim says, I worship one God. Christians worship three gods. That's wrong. I'm right. The difference is that we would say, no, the unity is perfect. So perfect that it's only one. That's the difference. Now, you have to believe that by faith. There's no way anyone can prove that to you. All right, page 171. Yeah, page 171. Go there, please. Page 171. All right, number four, God. Number four, look at top of 171. God
knows.
God knows. Number five, God
will judge
the world. Number six,
God is a personal spirit.
Okay, all we're doing is describing things that Mary Baker Eddy has a problem with regard to God. Because the God of the Christian Science is not an intimate, personal God that cares about you, loves you, and that you can have conversations with, that you can pray with, that He is sovereign, overarching, ruling, has an agenda. That's not the God of Christian Science. We'll read the word one says from this brief resume. Read that, please.
From this brief resume of some of God's attributes, the interested reader can doubtless see the vast difference between the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the divine principle of Eddie's Christian Science.
Okay, that's all we're doing right here. That's all. That's it. This lesson is so simple. We're taking Bible, and we're going triangle, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who has known attributes. These attributes, you must know them. You remember the omni attributes?
Yes, sir.
Help me.
Omnipotence, omnibenevolence,
omnipresent, omnipresent.
All right, those are the attributes. What else? God is
love.
Holy. God is love. God is
righteous.
Just.
Eternal.
God is eternal.
Forgiving.
God is merciful.
Righteous.
Gracious.
Righteous.
And God has a. God has a
Son.
God exists as a
Spirit,
and there is a separate entity called the Holy Spirit. The Father is a Spirit, and there is a separate entity. Then we come over to this side, and we just start comparing attributes. Give me an attribute of Philip.
Smart.
All right, give me another attribute of Philip.
Quiet.
Okay. Beastly. I mean, look at that hair. I mean, wait till you see what he's going to have as a mustache and a full facial. What else? Another attribute of Philip.
White.
It's another attribute.
Kind.
All right. These are attributes. You must know the attributes of God. You must be able to talk intelligently about the attributes of God. And that's all we're doing. And this simple little lesson is to compare the attributes of God in the Bible versus the attributes of Christian Science. But let me go on to the Holy Spirit. Mary Baker Eddy taught that the Holy Spirit is the equivalent with divine science. Okay? Now think about how bizarre that is. That the Holy Spirit of the Bible is equal to divine science. That the Holy Spirit of the Bible is equal to divine science. Go to Acts chapter number 6. I think that's the right direction. It might be 7. Acts, please. Everyone turning. No, it's Acts 5. It's actually 5. Okay? Okay, this is a very important reference for you to get a hold of with regard to the Holy Spirit. A certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, reading verse 1 of chapter number 5 of the book of Acts, his wife sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, bought a certain part. Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" I want to ask you a question. How could you lie to divine science?
You can't.
How would you lie to divine science? In order to lie to someone, it has to be a
personality.
A person. Can I lie to the Mountain Dew can?
No.
That's stupid, isn't it? You can't lie to science. Science isn't a being that exists that you communicate with. You don't lie to your dog. Your dog doesn't come up to you and say, "You lied to me." I know even you pet lovers, you think about your dog as really... But you still don't lie to a dog. Now, can you lie to a human being?
Yes.
All right, so hold that thought and let's keep reading. "While it remained, was it not thine eye? After that, the soul, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto
God?"
Wait a minute. Stop. Did she lie to the Holy Spirit? Or did she lie to God? Which one?
God.
In lying to the Holy Spirit, she's lying to God.
That doesn't work here. This doesn't work. This is divine science. Mary Baker Eddy has said that divine science is not God. That we have God up here, Mother God, and the Holy Spirit of the Bible. Whenever you see Holy Spirit in the Bible, you should be thinking divine science. That's really divine science. Well, Peter was really confused. I mean, Peter was kind of confused here. Because he said, Ananias, why have you conspired in your heart to lie to divine science?
That can be proven.
Right. Absolutely. If we look at what the Scripture says very plainly here in these verses, again, we're reading from verse number 3, chapter number 5, the book of Acts, that he lied to who? And then the very next verse, Peter, so confused, says, you lied to God. The only way this Scripture makes sense is if this triangle is true. If this triangle is false, then that Scripture doesn't make any sense at all. But if this is right, the Trinity, then can she lie to God and can he lie to God and can he lie to the Holy Spirit if this is right?
Yes.
Because the Holy Spirit is God and God is the Holy Spirit. But if Christian Science is right and the Holy Spirit is not God, the Holy Spirit is a divine science. Christ is not God. He is the Son of God, separate from God the Father, wholly separate. Then the Bible is
false.
Thus, she has to write her own book, and then she's going to help you understand the Bible because you're not smart enough to understand it. So you go to her book and you find some commentary about this, and she figures out a clever way of explaining it away. And that's what happens here. Mrs. Eddy rejected the traditional doctrine of Trinity, saying that it suggests polytheism. She did, however, accept the threefold nature of God, defining it as life, truth, and love, or God the Father, dash Mother, Christ, whatever that means. 32, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to wrap it up here. We looked at the six attributes of remembering all that. Now we're talking about this lying to the Holy Spirit. Okay. The other thing that we need to think about is in the book of John, Christ says, I am leaving and I'm going to send you a comforter. All right. So here's your great comforter. Divine science. I mean, when you're broken and depressed and exasperated and grieving and sorrowful and life stinks, go get yourself some divine science. No. Jesus said, I'm leaving and I'm going to send you a comforter. And he will be with you. He will be there for you. A comforter is a counselor, an encourager, an admonisher. That's the one that I go to in my quiet prayer time. And I say, life stinks, Lord, and I'm at my wit's end. And this, I need some help, God. Mary says, go find some science to help you.